Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this last Sunday after Pentecost, proper 29, the Feast of Christ the King. Our readings today, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 to 7. Psalm 132, the Revelation of John, chapter 1, verses 4b to 8, and the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here and we will honor Him. The Lord is here and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. You are the King and we will praise You. You are holy, and we will bow before You. You are the Savior, and we will trust You. You are Almighty, and we will serve You. You are the Lord, and we will adore You. Amen. Lord, You call us to worship You with joy and thanksgiving. You summon us to give You glory and to honor Your name. You remind us that You are our Maker, and that through You we may enter all that life was meant to be. We come to confess that You hold us and You hold all things in the palm of Your hand, and we would worship You. Too easily our praises are restricted by our self-centeredness, and our prayers by our own self-interest. We come to sing, to laugh, and to rejoice in Your presence. By the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit, transform the formality of our praises and renew the experience of Your glory. Lord, we kneel before You. Our hearts and lives lie open to Your searching sight. By Your grace, enable us to speak of Your love and to commit our very lives to sing of Your glory. Amen. We have the hymn CPWI 378, O Worship the King.
Oh,
We pray the collect for proper 29, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, So You Are a King. So you are a king. When Jesus was arrested in Jerusalem, he was first brought before the Jewish authorities. In the Gospel of John, he is brought before Annas and Caiaphas, who were both identified as high priests. In the Jewish tradition, only one high priest served at a time, and Caiaphas was the high priest that year. However, Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas and reigned for 9 years as high priest before him. He still occupied a position of power and authority, and so Jesus was brought to him first. Annas questions Jesus about his teaching and his disciples, but finds nothing to prove that Jesus is a threat to their authority. Annas sends Jesus to Caiaphas. He too finds nothing to incriminate Jesus. However, because they wished to put Jesus to death, and they were under the rule of the Romans and had no such authority, they sent Jesus to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who was in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. Pilate was in Jerusalem at that time to oversee security and maintain order, as tens of thousands of Jewish pilgrims were in Jerusalem to celebrate their liberation from slavery in Egypt after 400 years. The first question Pilate puts to Jesus is, Are you the King of the Jews? John 18, verse 33b. The one standing before him did not look like a king in Pilate's eyes. The Jews had a long tradition of kings. When Samuel, the last judge of Israel, was old, and his sons were thought not to be suitable to replace him, the children of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Samuel was displeased and prayed to the Lord, who assured him that the people were not rejecting him, Samuel, but the Lord, even though the Lord liberated them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the land of promise. The Lord instructed Samuel, "Listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who will rule over them." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 9. Their first king, Saul, was disobedient to God and the prophet Samuel, and so the Spirit of the Lord was removed from him. The Lord directed Samuel to go to Jesse the Bethlehemite, "For I have provided for myself a king among his sons." 1 Samuel 16, verse 1b. Samuel is led to anoint David, Jesse's youngest son, to be king over Israel. The Bible records, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. When Saul loses favor with God, the prophet Samuel tells him that God has sought out a man after God's own heart to be the next king of Israel. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. In our Old Testament lesson today from 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 7, the last words of David, he is described as the oracle of a man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. David acknowledges and praises God with these words, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, 'One who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land.'" 2 Samuel 23, verses 2 to 4. God made an everlasting covenant with David that the kingship of Israel, nay, of the world, would be in his line forever. Thus, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of the Living God, was standing before Pilate, not clad in kingly robes, but dressed in the attire of an ordinary man. Pilate could not discern his kingship. Therefore, he would ask the question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" John chapter 18, verse 33b. Jesus does not answer Pilate's question. He points out, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate then asked him, "So you are a king?" John 18, verses 36 to 37a. Pilate's view of kingship is limited to the kings of nations. Jesus is the King of Kings. His mission is not to rule as an earthly king. His mission as king is to witness to the truth, to which Pilate asked a rhetorical question, "What is truth?" John 18, verse 38. Pilate's question really should have been, "Who is truth?" For the one standing before him is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the way to the Father. Or reading from the Revelation of John, chapter 1, verses 4b to 8, Jesus is revealed to John, who describes him as the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Verse 5. John affirms, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b and 6. As we celebrate today the feast of Christ the King, we are invited to be a part of his kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, not a kingdom forged from power, violence, oppression, and war, but a kingdom based on love, love for God and love for each other. A kingdom where each citizen is empowered by the Spirit of God and therefore seeks to determine what is God's will for them and asks for the faith, love, and power to do God's will. A kingdom where Christ reigns supreme in the hearts of those striving to be his disciples, citizens of the kingdom of the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us work for the fulfillment of our petition in our collect for today. We prayed, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pilate asked Jesus, "So you are a king?" In faith, we should be able to respond, "He is our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. Let us pray. The Lord is King, let the people rejoice. Lord Jesus Christ, your kingdom encompasses the whole world and stretches beyond the heavens. Renew your church to trust in your providence and victory. Strengthen the faint-hearted in the face of persecution and tumult. The Lord is King, let the people rejoice. Lord Jesus Christ, you stood before Pilate with dignity and integrity. Give wisdom and discernment to all who govern, that truth may be heard and honored. By your grace, may peace prevail. The Lord is King, let the people rejoice. Lord Jesus Christ, at your arrest, many deserted you, and few watched from the shadows. Be with those who face trial alone, and with appropriate adults who accompany accused juveniles. By your redeeming power, give us opportunity to amend our ways. The Lord is King, let the people rejoice. Lord Jesus Christ, you chose to subject yourself to human frailty. By your presence, bless us in our weakness. Hold us in your love. The Lord is King, let the people rejoice. Lord Jesus Christ, you embraced death and made it the gateway to glory. Do not forsake us at the hour of our death. Bring us to rejoice in your eternal kingdom. The Lord is King. Let the people rejoice. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our hymn, CPWI 190, crowned him with many crowns. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. We pray that you will have a very spirit-filled, productive, and rewarding week. We leave you with the hymn, Majesty.
From our home to yours, here's Majesty.
CPWI 848.